this. All right, I'm here with State Senator Richard Mattolino, and we're talking about in the aftermath of the Fight for 15 rally. So is it your belief, Senator, that this is a fight that really should be in Annapolis rather than in Rockville?
No, I think it makes sense that we're having this fight in Rockville, and we should be having this fight in Upper Marlboro for Prince George's County, and Ellicott City for Howard County, and Towson for Baltimore County, to try to get the state to move ahead. I mean, I think Baltimore City is going to pass a measure like this. Montgomery County is going to pass a measure. And I think around the state, hopefully it's going to push my colleagues and, more importantly, activists and workers from around the state to say, why is it McDonald's has to pay $15 in Baltimore City and I'm sitting out in Westminster and I get $8.50, which would be the, I think, the current state minimum wage? That's not right. I'm working hard. Why aren't my elected officials out there making sure I get paid a living wage as well?
So does it make sense then to have the same minimum wage paid in Bethesda as in Allegheny County, where the average income may be less than 50% what it is here?
I don't think we can stand up and say that you can't, it's not fair to have people to force them to work for poverty wages, but in Bethesda and in Montgomery County, but say it's okay for you to have those poverty wages if you're in Cumberland or if you're in Salisbury. I mean, it's pushing, it's continuing to push the envelope, because sooner or later people in Pennsylvania, West Virginia are going to say,
me too.
Why am I not getting that same benefit?
Do you see a hike in the minimum wage as benefiting the entire state as opposed to simply the workers who are now being paid below minimum wage? Trickle-up economics, some have called it.
Oh, absolutely, because, I mean, if you're looking for economic stimulus, upping the minimum wage is probably the best thing you can do to make that happen, because we know that people on the lower end of the income scale, they turn around and they spend that income right back in the communities that they live in. They're not putting it away. They don't have the flexibility to save it. They are turning around and they are putting that money right back to work in the economy. That's why it's smart. Henry Ford, for all of his baggage, Henry Ford did say, I pay my workers a wage so that they can go out and buy the car I'm building. It's the same thing. We have to pay a wage. I mean, no one should be working at a store and not being able to pay a wage, get a wage that allows them to turn around and shop at Target and Walmart. I mean, that's what we're talking about, a poverty wage. It's just not right, and we can do something about it in Maryland.
Senator, are you and the other progressives in Annapolis swimming upstream a little bit when you consider the election of a Republican to the governor's mansion here in Maryland, who's by all accounts apparently very popular, and now the election of Donald Trump?
So, Larry Hogan is liked. I wouldn't say Larry Hogan is necessarily popular, and I will tell you why. In the same Washington Post poll from like 6 weeks ago that showed him with a favorability, a likability number that was pretty high, when asked whether or not people would vote for him to be reelected, only 46% said yes. People have questions about Larry Hogan's economic agenda for the state. And with Donald Trump in Washington and Larry Hogan, his little brother, running the show in Annapolis, I think a lot of people in our state are going to turn around and say, this isn't what I signed up for. I don't want a governor who's out there trying to lower my wages. I mean, the governor has endorsed a plan that actually says we should be more competitive with North Carolina because their wages are lower. If Larry Hogan wants to join in a race to the bottom, I think he will clearly be rejected by the voters in 2 years.
All right, Senator, just a couple more questions. I really appreciate your time. My wife is a public school teacher here in Montgomery County. She teaches at a school where they have a pretty high percentage of students on reduced lunch. She talks about the two Montgomery counties. You hear that a lot. even Silver Spring, often a, you know, struggling in the past, gleaming downtown, expensive condos now, and yet you also have obviously the other Montgomery County people who may not have access to public transportation, who have or have to take two or three buses to get to work.
People like Ricardo
and are paying, you know, what most would say exorbitant rents for not particularly nice places to live. If you go to Baltimore, you have the gleaming Inner Harbor, and just a few blocks away, we saw communities that were, you know, just it's not great places to live. How do you bring back good jobs or bring more good jobs to these areas?
They're working on getting better.
The number one thing that we do is we continue to focus on what has always been Maryland's strength. High quality work. We have to make sure our commitment to education and providing an educational opportunity for all children, which you talked about, the two Montgomerys, we have to make sure that all young people have the same opportunity for the same achievement in the hopes of achieving high and dreaming big in our state. What sets us apart is our well-qualified labor force. And we will rue the day when we sacrifice that for short-term fiscal gain. And therefore, to me, what we want to do is continue to make sure we are turning out the best college graduates, because we've been able to depend upon college graduates from around the country who come here. If that goes away, we have to be able to produce it.
I'll tell you what.
That has to produce it internally.
I was over at College Park 2 weeks ago, and it's beautiful. And that's a gorgeous campus, and it's a great, and it keeps rising in the rankings. And I mean, I'm very disappointed. My older son actually just didn't want to go there, because I would have loved it for him to go to Maryland. So this is really something the state should be proud of.
Right. And it's not just the University of Maryland College Park.
Right.
It's all of the four-year institutions. It's about having really strong community colleges that are connected to the local jobs, that make sure that for people who are not interested in college can still get whatever certifications they need in order to get the jobs that pay beyond a living wage. I mean, Pepco is struggling with linemen to hire to work. That is a skilled job. That's not much of an... That's not a long program to get that certification at Montgomery College to get out and get a job that pays for many people over $100,000 a year.
And so, all the benefits that
exactly.
go.
Exactly. Yeah, so there are things that we should be doing. It isn't just about 4-year degrees. There are a lot of jobs to be had that require some training, but we should be looking for that, and we should be working with the business community to make sure that we are delivering the talent, the skills that they need through our training programs.
All right, last question. I really appreciate your time. Just give a quick plaudits to your former colleague Jamie Raskin. How's he going to do in Congress?
Did he get elected? Jamie's going to be amazing. I mean, and you already saw it with today, Jamie being added to a leadership position. It's interesting that they picked him to represent the first term
Congress
representatives from the Democratic Party. Look, this will be Raskin's moment. Right now, we have elected a president who is going to be pushing an administration that is going to challenge our Constitution in a way that it hasn't been in the modern era, if ever. Having a constitutional scholar, a nationwide respected constitutional scholar, standing there and debating them, whether it's in the well of the House or on television or on street corners, you're going to have a person well positioned to make sure that we don't roll back some of the things that have made America great.
All right, let me finish. I lied. I said this last question. So in terms of standing up to the coming conservative revolution or reaction, how important are events like this Fight for 15 rally?
This is important. Look, that's the only, it's the only way. Silence is assent. And if we don't stand up, if we don't challenge, if we don't push for a different vision, the only thing that will be out there is the one that he is peddling. And that is a dark vision for our future. Provides wonderful opportunities for a handful of people, probably unparalleled in the history of humanity. And for the rest of us, we'll be sitting there and be their glorified handmaids. That's not what, it's not what the United States was built on, and it's not a future I want for myself or my children.
Thank you so much, Senator. I really appreciate your time.
All right.
Pleasure.